Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that's the basis for our meditation this evening is taken from the letter of Paul to the Colossian Christians from chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our joy and our hope of glory, and is the reason for our thanksgiving, dear fellow, redeemed in his blood. There are times when it's not difficult at all to be thankful for certain things. When we sit in a warm house on a cold, windy winter day, it's not difficult to be thankful for our homes. It's not difficult to be thankful for life when we're healthy and feel good. It's not difficult to be thankful for food when it's easily accessible when we're hungry. It's not difficult to be thankful for water when you don't have to chop a hole in the ice to get it. It's not difficult to be thankful for family when everyone's getting along, being supportive and loving. It's not difficult being thankful for grandchildren when they still view their grandparents as a wonder and not as a bunch of out-of-touch old fogies. Now, that said, being thankful for these things isn't the same as thanking God for them. I'm thankful that you provide me a warm home, but that's not the same as saying, thank you, Heavenly Father, for this house that has become a home. I'm glad that I can eat whatever I want to during the holiday meal. But that's not the same as actually saying, thank you, Lord, for the abundance which you have provided. I'm thankful that my cold is kind of going away. But that doesn't mean that I've actually taken the time to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for granting recovery and blessing me with renewed health. I love my grandchildren, but I ought to begin every day by actually thanking God for the gifts he's given. Still, when we pause to give thanks tomorrow, it will primarily be for things that don't last, that are consumed and forgotten. As pathetic as it is, even the glow of family time will fade depending upon the outcome of the football game, or because we get tired and grumpy. Would it be wise to make a nap mandatory on Thanksgiving? No matter how hard we try to make it a perfect day, we don't live in a perfect world. As a result, there are things that we won't take the time to think about or give thanks for on Thanksgiving Day. The majority of them are of a spiritual nature. Even though just one of the seven requests that Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer concerns this life, still our Thanksgiving celebration seems to focus entirely upon earthly blessings. Let's change that this year, starting this evening. This Thanksgiving Eve, let's refocus as we study the words that the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul to write to the Colossian Christians. He wrote these words to people that he had never met face to face, and he wrote them from prison. Not exactly the easiest place to be thankful, is it? These are truly uncommon reasons to give thanks. And so we begin by asking this evening God's blessing upon our meditation. We use the words of Jesus, "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." Amen. The letter to the Colossians is one of the captivity letters, so called because it was written by Paul from prison in Rome. He was under house arrest, awaiting a hearing before the Roman emperor, to whom he had made an appeal as a Roman citizen. He had a handful of supportive companions when the Holy Spirit set him to writing these words, including Timothy, Tychicus, who delivered the letter, Aristarchus, Onesimus, John Mark, the man that wrote the Gospel of Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and Demas. After greeting the Colossians, the Apostle Paul got right down to business. He wanted the Colossian Christians to know that he and his companions had been praying for them constantly. "We give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Now, we may express thankfulness for the things that other people do for us, and we really should. When my brother-in-law diagnoses and repairs my vehicle, I tell him, "I'm thankful that I can turn to you when my car doesn't work." When someone fixes the lawnmower here or shovels the walk out front, I can tell them, "I'm thankful you're both willing and able to complete these tasks." And sometimes when people appreciate the sermon or the work that's put into a Bible study, they'll say, "Thank you, Pastor." Nonetheless, it seems to me that we don't thank God for what he has given and done for other people. We don't pray, "Thank you, Father, for the people that are a blessing to me. Thank you for the ability that you give my brother-in-law and to those who work alongside of me in the congregation." And if you look closely at these words, you'll notice that Paul doesn't thank the Colossians for their faith and love either. He doesn't thank the Colossians for the power of the message that they heard that was bringing forth fruit in the world. In fact, he thanked God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for every one of those things. For you see, the Colossians were not Christians because they wanted to be, but because they had heard about how Jesus died for their sins and rose again the third day. They weren't believers because they were somehow more noble than their neighbors, but because the Spirit of God had blessed the message that Jesus commissioned all of his disciples to proclaim in the world. They didn't love their fellow believers because they were good people, but because by the grace of God, they saw people, those people, as other people for whom Jesus died. And if Jesus loved them and was willing to die for them, then they loved them too. and proved it by their willingness to help and support them. They clung to an eternal hope in heaven, but not because of some finely crafted sermon, but because of the power of God. And they knew what God had done for them through His Son, and it was their treasure. Maybe you're thinking, wait a second, Pastor, something's fishy here. I thought you said that Paul had never met them. How could he ever know any of these things? How could he know about their faith and their love and their hope and their knowledge? Who taught them? Who told him? Did he have a smartphone? Keep reading. Verses 7 and 8. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. How did Paul know about the Colossian Christians? When he was under house arrest, he met their pastor, Epaphras, who told him about their faith in Christ, their love for Jesus' people, and their hope for heaven. And when they heard that from Epaphras, they began and continued to thank God for what he had done for them and was still doing. But Paul and his companions didn't only thank God for the past, what he had already done for these people. They also prayed earnestly for their future, that God would continue to build on their faith and grant other complementary blessings. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We pray for people under different circumstances, don't we? When they reach a milestone in their life, a birthday, baptism, confirmation, wedding. When they're sick, in the hospital, preparing for a surgery or some kind of treatment. When people are sorrowing at the loss of a loved one, be it a spouse, a family member, or friend. But how often do we take the time to pray for the spiritual benefit of our fellow believers? Well, this year, in an effort to become more aware of the needs of our fellow Christians overseas, you know that we've prayed lengthy prayers for people in far-off places that God would bless their work. We've never met any of them face to face. We wouldn't recognize them in a crowd. And yet we have spoken to God on their behalf, that He would bless them and their work. And when we pray in this way, we do the same thing that Paul and his companions were doing for the Colossian Christians. We pray that our fellow Christians never be satisfied with the first grade knowledge of Christ's redemption, but that they grow and mature until they are filled with the knowledge of what God wants and they understand it. Let's not stop there either, but pray for each other. This evening, when you get home, pick a member of Calvary and pray for them specifically, not just family members, and ask that God would grant them maturity and through the scriptures become more aware of what God wants and that they seek to do it. Seek their blessing from God when you pray. But don't pray because in your great wisdom you believe that these individuals need to grow up. Rather, pray in faith because you want the best for them, like Paul and his companions. Pray also, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We seek to grow in our understanding, but we should also seek God's strength to live in accord with that word. If you think that's easy, then you're living in a make-believe world, not the real one. We need to pray that we are all, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So Paul and his companions prayed that God would strengthen the Colossians and grant them patience and endurance. Why? Because they faced persecution for their faith in Jesus. And it would be impossible without God's power for them to remain joyful in the face of such things. Which is why we've prayed for our fellow believers in Myanmar and other places in the world today where they're being beat up because they're Christians. But let's also pray for one another here at Calvary, that we may stand firm in the truth when people mock our faith in Jesus. And that's going to happen unless you hide your faith and hide your hope in Christ. God grant that we never do so, but seek God's strength and power to endure it all. And finally, we give thanks to God that he's changed our status by qualifying, delivering, and conveying us. Read it for yourself, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul and his fellow workers didn't rejoice that the Colossians were good enough to make the cut, but rather prayed and gave thanks to God that he had qualified them to be partakers of God's inheritance in Christ. And he did this when he delivered them from the kingdom of darkness and the rule of Satan. He did that on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday, when he rose again. And thus he made it possible by faith for them and for us to be transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love, our Lord Jesus. And in Christ, their sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven. You are also God's children and have reason to thank God for the same things. You were qualified to stand before God, not because of who you are or what you've done, but because Christ bore your sins. You were slaves to sin and under the power of Satan until Christ delivered you. You were condemned sinners until Jesus shed his blood and granted you the grace to believe it. We aren't good people, but we are redeemed by his blood. We stand forgiven because of his sacrifice. These are good reasons to give thanks to God. In fact, in our world, these are truly uncommon but legitimate reasons to give thanks to God. May he grant us such thankfulness. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The offerings will be gathered.